Welcome to Lifestyle Therapies Podcast. This is your host, Sydney Brom, bringing you topics to make life a little bit better every day. Today, we're going to talk about lifestyle therapy. We want to welcome existing and new listeners alike and hope that you get some good stuff today out of our talk about lifestyle therapy.
Lifestyle Therapies with your host, Sydney Brom.
So remember a time, if you've ever had any time in your life where you just felt amazing, you felt like you could do anything you wanted to. If you had all the money in the world and all the time, you could hike Kilimanjaro, you could do helicopter skiing, whatever sounded fun or sounded interesting to you. And if you are in a job, you are just killing it with your career, the boss is impressed, or maybe you are the boss, you're coming up with creative ideas, your numbers look great, everything is going awesome, and you're feeling fantastic, you're clear-headed and enjoying your relationships at home, and you're able to have good communication there, great sex, and just do all the things that you want to do to have an awesome quality of life. So even if it was, I don't care how short or how long it was, I want you to think of that time. If you've never had a time like that, I want you to imagine what it would be like to have a time like that. And I want you to think about quality of life. Because really, if we're here, if you're not having a good time, if you're not getting some kind of fulfillment and enjoyment out of life, what is the point? Right? So it's all about getting the highest quality of life that we can. And really, we take for granted more often than not. Some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us have had some hard lessons to learn. That what we need more than anything to have that strength and vitality and mental clarity and the ability to be creative and just on the top of our game is all tied into our health. That if you don't have good health, you can't have any of those things. So really our most important thing that we have is our health. So how do we take the best care of it? What is the tool, if there was going to be one tool that could give me the fastest, best quality of life possible in the most efficient way possible. It's just something really sustainable. I'm here to tell you that is going to be lifestyle therapy. Now, what in the heck is lifestyle therapy? Lifestyle therapy is something that essentially saved my life on more than one occasion. I had a really bad injury. Had I not been really living lifestyle therapy to its peak, I would not have survived. I would not have recovered as well as I did either. So that was really huge for me. But when I first started learning the components of lifestyle therapy, you know, kind of accidentally as a teenager, they were really a game changer for me. They really distracted me from stuff where I could have really gotten in a lot of trouble. Had I not stumbled across and developed an interest in some of the components of lifestyle therapy. And so they really laid a foundation for me and really made a huge difference in my life. And that difference has lasted with me to this day. My lifestyle therapy is something that's been around for a long time. So it's really interesting to me. It always kind of makes me smile of how many times people scratch their head, what's she talking about? And I have to explain and they have to learn. So in medical terminology, lifestyle therapy is therapeutic lifestyle change programs. So lifestyle in the medical world is how do you live your life in pertaining to your health? How does it affect your health? You know, are you a smoker or are you a non-smoker? Do you exercise? Do you eat healthy? What's your stress levels like, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of little factors. So this can all be broken down into three main factors, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. But let's talk a little bit about kind of historically, when did the medical industry start realizing that lifestyle was such a big deal? So I first learned about it in 1997. I was working with a doctor. We went to a continuing education seminar, and there were a lot of preventative practitioners there, integrative practitioners there. medical doctors, acupuncturists, chiropractors, things like that, that really do their best to make a difference in people's lives and get results for people, get them healthy, get them feeling good. People with integrity that just really wanted to do good for people's health. So that was 1997. And what I was learning about was a lot having to do with things that I was already teaching and that I was already living, and I just didn't know the terminology. Oh, this is called lifestyle therapy. This is a TLC program, Therapeutic Lifestyle Change Program. So I'm like, cool. But fast forward, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and mainstream society still doesn't know what it is. That was over 20 years ago. So in preparing for this podcast, I went on Google Scholar and I looked it up. I just did a couple quick searches, therapeutic lifestyle change on Google Scholar, and see what popped up. And I tried to go back as far as I could. So on a quick search, the earliest reference I found was in regards to Raynaud syndrome, which I'm not going to get into. There's a lot of things that lifestyle therapy helps. This article was in regards to Raynaud syndrome. And this was in 1967, so more than 50 years ago. And it was by the Dean of Arkansas State University, Dr. Susan Hanrahan. So that's a while ago. So people still don't know about it. So by 1969, when I put in the year 1969, it was already to the point where I could get a full page of articles citing about different disease conditions and how therapeutic lifestyle change programs dramatically helped. So by the time I got to that class where I'm being introduced formally in more of an education setting in 1997, it had been well established that lifestyle therapy, especially for lifestyle related diseases, is the number one first line of defense that should be prescribed by a practitioner for any lifestyle related disease, and it's going to support the body and help the body with any number of other things as well. So that's kind of huge. Why is it not mainstream? I don't know. But if we look at our United States medical model today, it's pretty widely known. It's a disease model. So the industry makes money if we're sick, and it doesn't make money if we stay well. Lifestyle-related diseases are the number one top killers today. Heart disease is still the number one top killer. Regardless of any virus, of any bacterial infection, lifestyle-related diseases are still number one in the top killers today. So what are those? Those are diseases that you can get due to factors about how you live your life. And those are diseases like heart disease, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, hypercholesterolemia, type 2 diabetes, certain cancers like usually breast and prostate cancer, and obesity, which has a whole bunch of health complications with it all by itself. These are all considered to be lifestyle related diseases, and I may have missed a couple. So these are really familiar to everybody, but because these are the top killers, these are also, for the pharmaceutical and medical industries, the top money makers. So if we go talk about type 2 diabetes in particular, and I'm going to choose that one because an estimated 47% of U.S. adults qualify for diabetes prevention. That is about half. And 90% of the people with pre-diabetes have no idea they have it. So this is kind of a huge deal. But per person, per year, for type 2 diabetes, pharmaceutical and medical industries make, per person per year, $16,750 on average per person per year. So clinically, for most diabetics, and not everybody, if you've been doing this long enough and the complications of diabetes have been progressing, it's going to be a little bit harder. We can get improvements across the board with everybody, but the longer you've had it, the farther you have to reverse. But for most people, we can correct their labs, reversing diabetes in as little as 8 weeks. Yeah, 8 weeks. The human body is amazing. And it is remarkably forgiving considering everything we put it through. If you go to the CDC website and you look up diabetes prevention program, that diabetes prevention program is 12 months. So how are we able to reverse diabetes in the clinic in as little as 8 weeks? And I'll tell you, it's by using lifestyle therapy. And I'm really excited about this. I've always been excited about this. This is a passion for me because it works. It makes people happy, it makes them feel good, it makes them able to do things that they haven't done in a long time, or maybe they've never done and didn't think they could ever do, and then they can. And so it's incredible, and why wouldn't you want to give that to somebody? So let me explain. There's three main pieces to lifestyle therapy, and they're all really synergistic. This is huge. This is very, very important, because you're going to recognize these components. And so that's the mistake that we make, is we take one and I just need to do this, and we run with it, and then we lose most of our results. So there's three main components. So I think, if I did one, I'd only get 33.3 results, which isn't that good out of 100, really. But they're so synergistic, the components are, that you actually get less than 30% of your results if you only did one component. So try to hear me out here. So the first one, common sense, exercise. You need to exercise. Human body is designed to move. When you take a vitamin, for example, the body is designed very efficiently. And the best way, the most efficient, fastest, effective way to get those nutrients from that multivitamin in every tiny little cell in the body is the heart and exercise. The muscle contractions are going to help pump the blood and pump the fluid and pump those nutrients everywhere they need to go in your body. And we don't think about that. So exercise is number one for depression as a cure or treatment for depression. Number one, hands down, over any other therapy that there is. So tremendous for brain chemistry and mood. It's fantastic for detoxification, which we need on a daily basis from all of our environmental toxins, things we absorb through our skin, cleaners, chemicals and skincare products, airborne contaminants like secondhand smoke, car exhaust, jet trails, paint fumes, anything that you can think of. You can breathe it, you can touch it, you can absorb it, inhale it, it's going to go in. If we have prescription medications that are in a cream or a patch and they absorb through the skin into the bloodstream, I guarantee you that there are a lot of toxins in your environment that will absorb into the bloodstream too. So exercise helps your body to clean these out, but obviously we want to try to minimize those things. So if you're going to touch something, wear gloves. If you're going to be in an environment where you're breathing toxic paint fumes or something, you need to be wearing protection for your respiratory system, etc. So exercise helps with detoxifying the system. It helps with brain chemistry, mood, preventing and curing depression. It helps with pumping your nutrients all through your body. It also boosts your immune system, is a single greatest booster of the immune system. Exercise heats up your core temperature. So kind of like when you get sick and you get a fever, you get that fever not because you're going to cook the sickness. You get the fever because you need that temperature to make certain immune system cells. And so people that exercise regularly don't typically get sick as much because they're boosting that temperature and able to make a higher level of immune system cells on a regular basis. And then they're increasing their circulation through the muscle contractions and pumping those immune system cells all through the body. And it's helping to clean out their lymph system and on and on and on. Exercise is phenomenal. So if you have limitations, do what you can. I worked with a quadriplegic, and she would have staff hook her up to a muscle stem, which is a machine that causes the muscles to contract, and it would help her tremendously. So I encourage you, start where you are. You don't have to knock yourself out and hurt yourself, but get some movement. Movement's going to be really helpful for you. Now, your exercise quality and ability is going to be affected dramatically by your nutrition and your stress levels. So nutrition provides the building blocks for your muscles and the fuel that you need to have energy and the nutrients that you need to repair all your cells and to create strong joints and connective tissues that are going to minimize joint pain and to feel good and to get the best endurance and the best set of reps or whatever it is that you can get. So if you've ever had a day when you ate like crap, or let's say a weekend when you ate like crap, and you try to, I got to go to the gym, and you're going to go and work out and make up for it, and your workout is terrible. You feel awful. You are paying the price and you can feel it. So your nutrition really affects your ability to perform in your workouts. And so does your stress. When you've been under a lot of stress, sometimes you kind of get in freeze mode and it's all you can do to even get to the gym and try to work out or just walk around the block. Sometimes you just don't even want to go out because you're so stressed. But if you did make it and you're really preoccupied, you can't focus, and the quality of your workout isn't as good, your strength isn't as good, your endurance isn't as good, and that is the toll of stress on you. And the nutrition and exercise work in reverse as well. So nutrition can either help your stress levels because you require specific nutrients to be able to handle stress. So you burn up certain nutrients when you're under a lot of stress. So if you don't have those, it's going to cost you. So the right nutrition is going to support the exercise. It's going to help you to handle stress. The wrong nutrition is going to make the exercise harder and it's going to make the stress worse. The right workout is going to help what you're doing with your nutrition, and it's going to help you to be able to handle your stress better. The wrong workout is going to make the stress worse and could potentially push you over the edge. Stress does cause a physical response and physiological actions in the body. Blood pressure, for example, can go up simply from being too stressed out, and a whole host of other changes that happen in the body. And so we really can't separate these things. Anytime that you're doing one component of lifestyle therapy, be it exercise or nutrition or stress relief, you really have to take into account for the other components. I hope this was helpful. I hope this gave you some insight and gave you some good things to think about and to know that there is hope. It is totally possible for you to reach your genetic potential and feel best that you could possibly feel through lifestyle therapy.
Lifestyle Therapies with your host, Sydney Braun.